Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke. Joining me today is UW-Parkside Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs, Dr. Rob Dukoff. Rob joined UW-Parkside about 2.5 years ago after serving as Dean of the Judd Layton School of Business and Economics at Indiana University South Bend. Last month, Rob traveled to China to meet with UW-Parkside academic partners. We'll talk a little about that trip and also discuss Rob's vision for the university and maybe even touch on his love for motorcycles. Rob, welcome to UW-Parkside today.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Let's start with the China trip. How did that come about?
Well, it really came about through one of our professors at UW-Parkside. We have quite a few professors that were born outside the United States. And so this one particular professor, Jamie Wang, is a professor of accounting in the College of Business Economics and Computing. Mm-hmm. And he's from China. And it's really through his interest and effort in maintaining connections with the country where he was born, that this came about. And so in this trip that Professor Wang and I took a few weeks ago, we visited three universities that he has developed relationships with, one in Wuhan, China, which is in central China, and two in Beijing. And the initiative for these relationships and the connections we have with the university are really through him. And when I travel with him, sometimes I'm in groups or with individuals that don't speak much English, and so he or somebody else does translations. And so without him, I don't think we would have this kind of access. And we have similar sorts of opportunities with other professors and other in other countries around the world. And in this particular case, John, we went to talk about a particular kind of an agreement that we have with these three universities, and we refer to it as a 3+1+1. And the idea is that the students from China do 3 of their 4 years in an undergraduate program at home in either Wuhan or Beijing. Then they come to United States and they come to UW-Parkside for their 4th year. And in that 4th year, they take a year of courses at Parkside and they complete their undergraduate degree from their home university. And then if they wish, they stay on for another year and they can earn either an MBA or a master's degree in computer information systems. So that's why we call it 3+1+1.
Yeah, interesting. How many do you think that the students, and I know we've had students from other international countries coming to Parkside for similar similar education plans, how many of them do pursue that graduate degree?
Most. We find that most of the students that come for that first plus 1 year, that 4th year, they enjoy themselves. They enjoy UW-Parkside. They love spending time in our region and in the United States, and they usually stay on for that, you know, for that 5th year, and then they can either return home with a master's degree from a U.S. university, or many of them are also interested in staying in the United States for a year of work after their degree, which is referred to as a year of optional practical training. So they're very interested in getting experience with a U.S. company and then going home. Either way, they, you know, they return home with great experience.
What were some, from your recent trip to China, what were some of the key takeaways, do you think, from that visit?
So the main takeaways, we returned with 3 signed agreements. Two of the agreements were renewals of agreements that we already had, which were agreements with for a 3+1+1, where the first, where the 4th year, the first plus one was to do the 4th year in business at University of Wisconsin Parkside in the College of Business Economics and Computing, and the 2nd year was to do an MBA, and so we signed renewals of existing agreements with two universities in Beijing for those students, for their students to come, and if they wish to stay on for the MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And then we signed an agreement with a new agreement with a university in Wuhan for their students, if they wish, after that fourth year, to stay on for a Master of Science in Computer and Information mm-hmm. Systems. And the three universities that we signed agreements with, the two in Beijing, are called Beijing Technology and Business University.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. the other one is Beijing Institute of Science and Technology University.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wuhan, the name of the university is Zhonghan okay. University.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess separate from the key takeaways that you asked about, I would just add that this is my fourth or fifth opportunity to travel to China. Mm. And I'm reminded every time of just how much the Chinese want to learn from us.
Mm.
And not mm-hmm. just from us. They are creating similar sorts of agreements with universities all across the United States, but universities all across the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are just hungry to learn from everybody, and they're in such a rush to develop their country. Mm. They were such a poor country, and on an individual basis compared to the United States, the typical family probably lives on just a fraction of what mm. we're used to living on in the United States. Right. So compared to us, on an individual level, they still live a much more modest existence. But the rate at which they're developing is just astounding. And there's so many Chinese. I mean, their population is probably about four times the population of the United States, well yeah. over a billion people. And so when you go there, you're just struck by the scale of things. So you can drive, and there are just high-rise apartment buildings, tens and tens and tens of them, right mm-hmm. next to one another. Their roads they have these fantastic highways, huge, wide, multiple lane highways with no cracks or bumps in them. It's just, you know, absolutely incredible. Their airports, they're all new in multiple cities and very, very modern. And, you know, they have trains in China that travel at close to 200 miles an hour. And if you put a cup of coffee down on the table that you're sitting at, you don't even see the liquid wow. moving. And so they're developing very, very quickly, but on the other side of the coin, the smog and the pollution
yeah. uh-huh.
is pretty significant and pretty persistent. And mm-hmm. so any day, if you look at your iPhone on the weather and you look at the air quality, usually it's, you know, not often it's not healthy.
Yeah.
I remember when I was returning and flying over Chicago from Lake Michigan and opened up the flap on the window, and it was a sunny day, and I couldn't believe how bright and clear uh-huh. everything looked. And it just reminded me of, you know, the difference between the environments. In China, there are cameras everywhere. The surveillance culture is extreme.
Mm.
People don't speed on the highways because
they're being watched.
They're being watched.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you're being watched everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can't get Facebook, you can't get Google. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's different. And when you go into some of these buildings, like the universities, and many of the universities have been built recently, and they have these huge, majestic buildings. But when you walk inside, often there's no heating or air conditioning,
wow.
or the finishing touches that we're used to in the United States, the carpeting or the moldings, inside they're very Spartan. Mm. And so you just sort of get the sense that things are happening so quickly.
Yeah.
They have to build these buildings and institutions quickly. But it's just different. It's fascinating to just, you know, to see it.
Now, how many years has it been since your first trip, the first time that you had a chance to visit China?
Probably 13 or 14 years ago. I taught a couple times in Taiwan.
Okay.
And over the past, you know, I've been to China a couple times since being at Parkside, and once 4 or 5 years ago when I was working in Indiana. So the rate of change is accelerating.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. If what you saw as thinking back to your first visit to thinking back to just last month, what are the things that stand out as the acceleration?
It keeps accelerating, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When you look at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and we're a university that's very connected to our community, and that 60%, roughly, 60% of our students come from either Racine or Kenosha County, roughly 60% of our alumni live right here in this region, Racine, Kenosha, Walworth County, Milwaukee County. What is it about having these international partnerships? Why is it important for the university to have them when it's a rather regionally focused university?
Yeah. So great question. So I answer it in three ways. The students that come here from China, like a lot of international students, they come from halfway around the world, and they tend to be great students. They come here, they work really, really hard, they do really, really well, and so they're great students. And when you go to as a university student, I think it's probably fair to say about half of what you learn from your professors, and about half of what you learn from working and getting to know the other students and interacting with them.
Yeah.
So the better the students are, the more interesting the students are, the more you're going to learn and the more interesting your experience. So one reason is just these are fantastic students that really come here to learn and are eager to learn. And so it's great to have them here just because we're a school.
Mm-hmm.
We want to serve great students. I think another really interesting benefit of having students from China or any students from another country is just they're different. From us. Mm-hmm. I mean, our students, the vast majority of our students come within 50 to 100 miles
mm-hmm.
or closer.
Right.
Yep. And so the vast majority of our students come from similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so students that come from another country, not only do they work hard and they're eager to learn, mm-hmm. but they come from a completely different set of experiences. And so no matter what issue you might study in a class, the experience of students coming from another country is going to be different. And so just imagine how much more interesting the class discussions are or the group projects are when students from a completely different background are participating. They're going to see things differently. Like in the United States, culturally, which we're much more individualistic in how we approach things. In China, for example, they're much more collectivist in their approach. And so think how interesting it is to bring those perspectives together from a learning point of view, from a working on a project point of view, and just from getting to know, you know, people. So it's interesting from that point of view, the diversity.
Right.
And on a more practical level, they pay more than twice the price for their education. And we need the money. All public universities do these days. So, for example, at University of Wisconsin-Parkside, about 70 cents of every dollar of the money we need to run our university comes from student tuition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so students that come and pay out-of-state tuition like international students do, they're hugely valuable from a revenue point of view. So most universities around the United States, even universities like ours that primarily are regional universities, make some effort to recruit international students.
And I wonder about the way that, especially in the past few years that this region has changed in terms of companies, businesses coming in, and especially, you know, you almost can't have a conversation without throwing out Foxconn, and what an international company coming to the United States means in terms of the relationships that the university has with students or institutions in other countries around the world, how that impacts how other companies see the university and see the value of the university here in our region.
So I think it's great, also a great question. So if I'm a Chinese student, and when I was meeting with the officials from the Chinese universities and discussing the nature and scale of what Foxconn is doing in our region, Foxconn's a Taiwanese company that has huge operations in China. So the opportunity for students, and they have they're building a huge research and development and engineering operation here. They're hiring people from engineering backgrounds, from all areas of business. And so for students to come from China, earn an MBA or a Master of Science in Computer Information Systems, and have a chance to do an internship or work for a year at Foxconn and then go back, it's just a rich educational experience, a rich opportunity to work with one of the largest companies in the world. And Foxconn and our region that is so interested in expanding its talent base, it's a win-win for, you know, everybody right. involved.
Yeah. I, at the risk of editorializing here a bit, reading some of the stories, a couple stories came out maybe in the last week or so about Foxconn is going to bring in Chinese workers into this area. And kind of my first reaction was, well, good. You know, like, they're not going to bring in all of the people they're going to need, but the diversity coming to the area from whether it's Haribo coming as a German company coming in, you know, it almost can't help but strengthen strengthen the community of southeastern Wisconsin.
And I think you're right. And whether they come from China or some other country in the world, often they're going to come with their spouses, and often they're going to have kids, and those kids are going to need to go to school, and the families are going to need to buy homes, and clothing, and entertainment, and seven of every $10 in the economy comes from consumer spending, and so when those folks come to Kenosha or Racine and settle in, all the companies and all the nonprofits in Kenosha and Racine and in our region benefit from those people. So it helps all of us.
Right. You've been with the university for 2.5-ish years. And I was looking back at something that Chancellor Ford had stated when she wrote welcoming you to the university. And she said that she noted that your values align with those at UW Parkside and that you embrace the UW Parkside mission and vision. And she also said that you helped and acknowledged what you did at Indiana University South Bend to establish a true sense of purpose and relevance in the community. So how does a university, what does the university do to connect with the community, and how do the values of this university strengthen the connection with our communities here in southeastern Wisconsin?
So I think the University of Wisconsin Parkside was created to serve this region because the region wanted a four-year university. And 50 years ago, you could still have a great life and raise a family, go on vacations without a university degree. So back then, it was a sense of possibilities and optimism that by creating a university in the region, it would, you know, help the region grow and prosper.
Right. Yeah.
But today, 50 years later, if folks that graduate high school don't go on to university, there's no jobs, certainly no jobs that pay well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really can't take care of yourself unless you have a post-secondary education of some mm-hmm. kind. And if you can't even take care of yourself well, the chance that you can help raise a family just isn't really that great. So university is so, so important today and has grown more important every year over the last 50 years. And so the mission of university, like UW-Parkside, is to educate people from the region, most of whom are coming from families where the parents didn't go to university.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of family I came from. That's the kind of family our chancellor came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the sort of the business we're in is educating first generation students who, if they get an education, are going to have great,
mm-hmm.
you know, great lives. And so the way we connect with our community, John, I would say in the main, is to offer a great education to people from the region who, when they complete, are quite likely to stay in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And the more students that complete a university education today, the more graduates we're going to produce that are going to go work for Foxconn or any other companies or nonprofits in the area, and they're going to have great lives in the area. And so in our region, if you look at the percentage of adults in Racine or the percentage of adults in Kenosha that have a university bachelor's degree or a two-year degree,
mm-hmm.
it's a lower percentage than in the rest of the state,
right.
and it's a lower percentage than the country nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Foxconn or our economy more broadly to do well into the future, we generally assume we're going to need more well-educated people. So that's, you know, that's Parkside's mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a really common mission across the United States, because if we want to compete as a country
right.
in this century,
right.
we were sort of, you know, the second half of the 20th century, we were more successful, more productive, and wealthier than by far than any other country in the world. If we want to maintain our leadership in world affairs in the 21st century, it's going to be even more dependent on education
mm-hmm.
than the 20th century was. And so we probably don't need to be as concerned about the universities that serve the best qualified, the best prepared, and the most privileged economically mm-hmm. students.
Right.
One way or another, they're going to be fine. It's sort of the students in the middle that I think we have a bigger responsibility and maybe a little bit of a bigger challenge to mm-hmm. serve, and that's the kind of university, you know, we are. So it's a very important space for us to operate in, and that's why we focus so much of our attention on supporting our students.
And you're involved with initiatives to help people complete college, to get that credential, that academic credential beyond high school. Do you think it's a tough sell?
I don't. Recently, I know you're aware of, 18 universities in the greater Milwaukee area for the first time have mm-hmm. signed an agreement to all work together on helping more students graduate from college. Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Universities typically work separately and compete often with one another. And so the 18 university chancellors and presidents in the greater Milwaukee area have signed on to work together to help more students complete their college. That could be a two-year, a four-year college, a private or a public, and to also work together on two other priorities, working together on making sure their programs meet market needs mm-hmm. and helping organizations recruit students from their institutions so that companies and nonprofits can hire the talent they need. So I absolutely think that this is an important enough issue for them to collaborate on, and they've all indicated that that's what they're going to do.
And the number that, in talking about that alliance, the number that just blows me away is 176,000, I think,
yeah.
is the number they're using
yeah.
for students that
yeah.
are involved in these institutions. And when you look at some of the talent demands that hopefully are going to be in this area, because if you have the talent demands, it means that, that you've got a vibrant economic base. It seems like there the talent pool is there. It's being able to to help people be able to complete that that education, be able to complete what they want to do to move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And certainly at Parkside, in our new strategic plan that we're working on, the central aim, the central promise, the central goal is by 2025 to graduate 50% more graduates annually than we're doing now, because we know that of all the things that our region needs, it needs more well-educated people, needs more graduates, and we believe that we can do that, and are developing plans to make that a reality.
And one of the things that, that I know you've talked about in terms of reaching that goal is the new online MBA program that UW-Parkside has just recently kicked off this fall. Tell us a little bit about that program, how that came about.
So, absolutely. We launched a new online MBA program this September that was completely reformatted. The curriculum was completely changed. The course delivery method went from to completely online. The way courses are designed went from 15 weeks to 7 weeks. We went from admitting students twice a year to admitting students six times a year, so people can start virtually any time of the year. And we created a curriculum that students studying part-time can finish more efficiently and more quickly. We realize that's what the market wants. And in the first semester, we've already got 60 new MBA students online. And so far, you know, the decisions we've made and how to design the program, you know, seem to be working.
So now we're going to go completely off the topic of Parkside and academics. And I want to ask you about what I'm confident is one of your favorite movies of all time. And that would be Wild Hogs, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe not.
I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies, but I, you know, but I've seen it, and it has a happy ending. I like a happy ending.
It has a happy ending. Ray Liotta is in it, and boy, talk about a guy that, you know, you love to hate, right? He just seems like at times he can be friendly, and then you go, this is a bad guy. This is just a bad dude. He's I always like his roles are interesting. But you you enjoy motorcycles, and how did your we'll call it love affair for, with motorcycles? How did that begin? What do you enjoy most about that?
Well, I just the feeling of riding a motorcycle is just like nothing else. I mean, it just I'm not sure if it's the handling of the motorcycle or the acceleration. On a motorcycle, just the feeling of, you know, being connected to the environment, the wind in your face, how close you are to you know, everything you're driving by. It's a great feeling. I'd always wanted a motorcycle, and I never got one. I remember promising myself when I was doing my PhD that after I earned my degree and I published the first article from my doctorate that I'd buy myself a motorcycle.
Okay.
And so when I published my first article after my doctorate was about the time that my wife and I started having kids. And we ended up having five kids. And right, I just kind of never got around to it.
Yeah,
I just right. There was other things to spend money on.
Yeah,
and then one day, you know, when, you know, many years later, I came home and I had one of the kids in the car, and I pushed the button and the garage door opened and Sandy was in the garage with this big motor scooter that she bought me. With the rest of the kids and some of their friends. And so it was a complete surprise. It was for my birthday. And so I got on it and I drove it around the block. She got on it with me. That was the last time she ever rode on a motorcycle with me, but it was a big scooter.
Wow.
And so I loved it, and I drove it all the time. And a fellow I used to work with said to me one day, Rob, we go on these cross-country trips. You ought to come with us.
It is Wild Hogs.
And so I realized I couldn't drive a big motor scooter with all of these fellows. And so I upgraded to a motorcycle and upgraded again since then. And now, you know, we travel all around the country together on these trips, and we just have a great time driving our bikes and seeing, you know, incredible sights across the country. So but I don't have any tattoos, we don't look for trouble with other gangs and bikers.
And let's see, and have you gone through Madrid yet? You know, maybe not go through there. So, well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule today, Rob.
My pleasure.
It's been nice having you on Parkside today. Good luck with future endeavors here at UW Parkside. Dr. Rob Dukoff, who is Parkside's Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs, has been with us today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, John. My pleasure.